This show is supported by generous listeners like you through our Patreon. This episode is underwritten by the Tamsin G Association and Stephanie Powers. To learn more about ways to support Oh My Dollar and get cool perks like exclusive live streams and cat stickers, you can visit ohmydollar.com/support.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful, but here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm your host, Lillian Kerbake.
I'm your other host, Will.
I like that we just call you other host.
Other host, yeah.
Other host. All right, Will. So here's the real talk. I spend a lot of money on clothing. And I've recently just started to realize how like deep the hole goes. And I think I'm okay with it. But I asked a bunch of people on the new Oh My Dollar forums.
Shout out to the new Oh My Dollar forums.
Wow. yeah, shout out to the new Oh My Dollar forums, which you can totally join and have fun conversations like this. But I asked people about how much they spend on clothing. And this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I think I mentioned to listeners before, I did a big project where I actually cataloged my entire wardrobe down to like what material each of my items was made from and the original purchase price. Mm-hmm. And where I got it and what retailer. Like I did this
thorough, all the
3,000 cell spreadsheet was the total. I had like 12 pivot tables, and that ended up turning into an article that I did for rack.com, which is no longer, but the article is still up there, and it has a bunch of graphs on my wardrobe. But I actually came up with the total purchase price to me of my entire wardrobe, and it's $3,000.
That's not as steep as I would have guessed for someone who's so consistently well-dressed. I don't know.
I'm glad you think I'm well-dressed. Well, and to me, I think one of the things that was surprising to me is because I have so much clothing that I got for free. Because mm-hmm. I get a lot of my clothing at clothing swaps. And then what I buy almost everything used. And so I was sort of like, oh, I don't spend that much per item, but I do, when I splurge, I tend to splurge on very high-end stuff. So I have, you know, two custom suits that I have that are like made-to-measure wool suits. Those are not cheap.
Never.
And that makes up like a huge percentage of my wardrobe. And then I have like, you know, a couple like 1920s vintage dresses that were pretty expensive when I acquired them because, you know, they're 100 years old.
They're old, yeah.
I was really interested in this. And I think clothing is one of those things that it's really hard to set guidelines on it, right? So it's one of those things like groceries where the amount that you can spend on it is like wildly variable, but even more than groceries, right? Like you need clothing. But you only need like a very basic amount of clothing, right? And obviously, like clothing is very much a luxury good if you get up into the higher ends, or it can just be something very basic and you cannot replace your clothing for years at a time. Do you think about clothing spending, Will? We have very different styles.
I have been. thanks for saying I have a style. I'm more of a functional clothing person. I'll kind of just wear things until they're falling apart. I like free t-shirts. I definitely... I'd say my wardrobe is mostly composed of t-shirts.
Yeah, you do. You're very t-shirts and jeans kind of practical. Do you get a lot of, because one of the things that a lot of people brought up is that they end up, the investment pieces for them, even if they don't have like a style, so to speak, is that they get a lot of like weather gear.
Yes,
so like
I'd agree.
It'll be like
any coats
walking
or jackets.
Shoes or coats. Yeah.
There's also a lot of like tall person solidarity. Like I feel like once people are over like 6'4", there's like this understanding that it's a pain in the ass finding clothes that fit. And I get a lot of pass downs and hand-me-downs from other large people.
I have like there's definitely no solidarity, but I get a lot of tiny clothes because other people shrunk them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like all of my sweaters were at some point in time
a larger sweater.
And there's the clothing swap pile, which is the like either I've grown out of it or I've shrunk it pile at the clothing swaps. And that's like my favorite place to go because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 4'11".
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. So that's...
But one of the other disadvantages to me is I like obviously like a lot of very whimsical stuff. And as internet online shopping has gotten more accessible, I am the standard size for a lot of Asian cheap fast fashion.
And I bet those
weird
are cool
clothes. Yeah. Yeah, you can find a lot of like cool weird clothes, And it's very, I think, very dangerous for me because I was never someone who ever bought like new clothes at, you know, the mall or the store. And I would always try to buy used for environmental reasons. And once it became a lot easier to do online and I could get like super strange, you know, cat face shirts. Like yeah. That's an actual example of a thing I own. And like
strange cat face shirts. Yep.
Yeah. Or like, you know, glitter hot pants that have
cats.
Yeah. Lightning bolts down the side or whatever. Once I was able to start getting access to that without having to actually physically go and shop, which is something I hate, mm-hmm. then I started to spend a lot more. And I tended to spend it on stuff that I don't value as much in the long term. I've thought a lot about this because I am really obsessed with these old school wardrobe plans, which were including a budget. They were these classic things that would come out on an annual basis in women's magazines. And they were common like from like the turn of the century up until like the late 1950s. And it would be an annual budget for exactly the items that a, you know, woman would need. And a woman at different stages of her life. So there would be like a college budget and a going back to school budget. And they really had their height during World War II austerity, right? When there were like limitations on like everybody obviously had to switch what fibers they were using because, you know, you switched to using rayon and things like that, because you couldn't get natural fibers anymore because right. they were used for, the war. And they really, really had a height during that time. And I find them super fascinating because that just doesn't exist anymore. Now, the way that we talk about clothing in mainstream media is when they do talk about budget, they really emphasize fast fashion. But when I look through and I actually did like the conversions and I did the inflation rate, the budget conscious things would still come out to like $1,000 a year in today's dollars, right? So it would be like a $100 annual budget for the staples that you need, like three skirts right. and, you know,
some blouses,
certain number yeah. of tights and one nice dress to wear to church and job interviews and like a suit. And that would all come out to about $1,000 annually, which is very close to actually what I spent last year. But I spent, you know, a large portion of that on a suit. And then the rest was a bunch of tiny items that I got used from eBay.
Right. Yeah. 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 Some were a big purchase. And
yeah.
then.
And I find it really interesting because now when consumer magazines talk about it, they're like, five shirts you can get for under $5 at, you know, sketchy websites or, you know, buying things at H&M or other fast fashion. And I think we're starting to realize the environmental and the labor impact that that does have. Mm-hmm. And there's really also with the rise of like KonMari, like clean out. People are starting to realize that, like, if you buy stuff just because it's cheap and it only lasts for a season, are you really getting value out of that?
Yeah.
So I did a no-spend clothing year, I think, a couple times. 2016 was the last one I did where I didn't buy any clothing the whole year. And I wouldn't say that it, like, I had a lot of people were like, oh, you just won't spend anything and then you'll spend all the money the next year. And I don't think I had as much of, like, a backlash. But what it really did highlight for me is the value I get from the high quality items in my wardrobe. So the stuff that I actually invested in, a lot of which were vintage and most of which were things like wool or silk, like the more expensive fibers. Animal fibers are always more expensive, just so folks know. But I like them because they smell less when you sweat and I bike everywhere. So you don't end up smelling.
I feel like they breathe better.
Yeah. And
that's the, I guess that's
wool
it.
Is great in Portland because it stays warm even when it gets wet and it rains
and
for 9 months.
And it will
here.
Get wet. Yeah.
although you do have to kind of put up with the fact that if it's like really wool and you get wet, you will kind of smell like a sheep.
Yeah. I've grown to like that though.
I know. I don't think I liked it when I first moved here, but I've grown to adjust it. And one thing that I also find really interesting is how much your profession impacts your clothing, right?
So, like if you work in radio, no one cares.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you are an audio engineer, it turns out you can wear whatever you
no
want to wear.
No one can see me.
So, but you do on-site stuff sometimes, but do you really, because you stay in the background as an engineer, you're just moving.
I can get away with the black pants and a black shirt, and I just sort of dress like a shadow and try to stay out of people's way, you know?
Yeah.
Just get out of the line of sight.
And like, obviously, like, I work in radio, but I also work in media where I'm seen. And so I do a lot of talks and everything. And so there's a lot of the clothing I invest in is stuff that I do specifically because I know I'm going to be wearing it on stage a lot. Mm-hmm. And because I travel, but I need to be dressed up for speaking gigs. I think that my biggest investments are purchases of things that I know that are like wrinkle resistant, but also will look good on stage.
Yeah, wrinkle resistance key.
And then I can like wear multiple times.
Yeah. And I guess the perk of like conventional men's dress is like I can get away with just like the pair of suits I've had for quite a while for almost anything formal.
Yeah, right. There is definitely an expectation for people that present in a feminized way that you're gonna change, right?
Like, yep. never wear the same thing twice.
Yeah, especially like a wedding. Like, you know, like, oh, I wore it at one wedding this year, I can't wear it at another. And like,
throw it away.
Wear the same suit at like 20 weddings.
Right? Yeah.
Right. That's definitely unfair. So the range on the forum. So I asked people on the Oh My Dollar forums what they spend per year, and the range was pretty large. From like, I think on the low end, people spent like $100, all the way up to like $2,000 per year. I was definitely on the higher end of it. I was like at $1,100 last year. It seemed like $400 to $600 per year was pretty average. But there were some interesting notes. So people that needed specialized clothing for work, it tended to be higher. And a lot of people said that they didn't even count that in their clothing category because they just consider that work expenses. So fire-resistant clothing and steel-toed boots.
I didn't even think about boots in my clothing category. I feel like that's probably my most consistent expensive purchase.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm buying a lot, but
shoes
I tend to...
Shoes are expensive, though. Good
wreck,
shoes are expensive.
I still go back and forth. I find I will wreck like a... pair of Doc Martens consistently in under a year just through use, and they're cheaper, but the more expensive ones I definitely get more time out of. I'm still trying to figure out where my like ideal boot range is.
I'm incredibly jealous because my partner works in tech and therefore is dressed up in all circumstances by just putting a small amount of effort in, and they're able to just get the same pair of black Vans for 10 plus years now.
Yeah.
And they were like, they were on sale, so they just bought like a back stock of these black Vans in their size.
Oh, that's a good play.
The black Vans are like not, they look, they're like dressed up in Portland but underdressed in the Midwest, right? You know, like, and but they're I can't wear black Vans with the majority of my work clothing and be seen. I'm actually wearing snow boots right now because it's snowing outside as we're recording, and I'm wearing it with like a vintage dress with a crinoline, which looks a little off.
Yeah. So. Well, just like buying multiple boots. My little brother actually just stocked up on socks. He got like a dozen pairs of the same sock, so he's just set.
Yeah, no, that's great. Socks are actually one of the few things that I almost never buy because I feel like I get enough free socks. Conference socks are a really big thing now, where conferences will like have companies will have branded socks at conferences. And I also used to get a lot of them because I go to a lot of bike conferences, and so they would hand out like branded bike socks. And also those are the kind of things you can find at clothing swaps. But since I tend to wear a lot of tights, I only really wear socks when I am working out, and so I don't have sophisticated socks. I also like never match my socks.
Like, oh yeah, I should buy some more socks.
I know. Now we're just talking about this. quite a few people said they had to wear scrubs for work, and they said that the scrubs can be really expensive, but they do hold up for a long time because they're meant to be able to like be washed on high heat over and over again. And quite a few people that wear scrubs for work still had them provided if they worked at a hospital, had them provided by their hospital. So what they wear for the majority of their day on their work days, they don't have to pay for.
Right.
Oro on the forum said, I don't spend enough on clothes, or rather, I don't buy enough of them. I'm always sighing, wondering why I only have two pairs of pants that fit, and then refusing to shop.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I definitely like, I think it's, I enjoy buying fun things. So when I buy clothing, I realize I own like five novelty skirts, but I don't own like a basic t-shirt.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, how did this happen? A on the forums is a postal worker, and she says she spends $100 on shoes every 6 to 10 weeks because she goes through them so quickly.
I believe that. That makes sense.
But she also says that she gets her uniforms from the Postal Union Clothing Swap. So the Postal Workers Union has like a clothing swap and like kind of library where you can just get old uniforms. And you can buy them and invest in them as a postal worker, but she's never bothered to do that. Elle says, I think I probably spend close to $1,000 a year on clothes. My professional wardrobe is included, and it needs to be practical and look good. I need Outdoorsy clothes, exercise clothes, and shoes, and my clothes wear out. Some people are magic and their clothes last forever. Not mine. If I lived closer to good thrift stores, I'm sure I could bring it down, but not to zero, mostly because I had too many 0 years, and so now I just have enough clothes. Yeah.
Yeah. Clothes wear out. I don't know where all these holes in my sweaters come from, but... They're there.
Mine are, I hate things that you can't repair. Like, I have a lot of older clothing, and those you can mend over and over again if they're made from, like, good quality fibers. But the problem is that with, like, fast fashion stuff that I get, like, I used to only ever end up with, like, H&M stuff because I got it at a clothing swap. So one person had already been through it. And then I would end up popping holes in the seams that were, like, unrepairable because the fabric is just too... light. One of the big things that was brought up was taking care of your clothes can really make it last a lot longer, and a lot of people don't know how to take care of clothes.
Yeah, I bet.
So one of the big things is that, like, if you have fancy workout gear, a lot of people don't realize that almost anything that has a high percentage of spandex in it usually needs to be drip dried or lie flat dry. You can't throw that stuff in the dryer. It wears it out a lot faster. It's important to think about the fact that clothes are made of fibers, and fibers are really just woven together
threads, tiny strings.
And so anytime you're stressing that, which is what a dryer does, because you're not only exposing it to a bunch of pressure, you're also exposing it to a bunch of heat. Dryers are really, really hard on clothing. That is one of the big ones. A lot of people, you know, I'm one of those people that, like, absolutely hates the concept of taking anything to a dry cleaner because I hate paying per item, theoretically. But I wear a lot of wool, and so I hand wash almost all my wool at home using Wool Light, and that helps extend the life of my clothing. And I'm blown away by how much I'm really into this metric of cost per wear. And it's very helpful if you're buying an investment piece or just any piece and you're curious to keep track of how many times you wear it. There's a couple different apps you can use for this. I use a spreadsheet, but there is an app called Stylebook that will actually, if you, at the time that you get it, you can enter a little picture in, and then every time you wear it, you can enter it into a calendar and it'll automatically calculate the cost per wear for you.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's also just fun because you can see what all the outfits you wore and maybe go like, oh, I have one pair of leggings and I wear leggings every single day. Maybe I should buy a second pair of leggings. You know, you can start to see, like, the patterns or the holes in your wardrobe overall planning.
My hole in my wardrobe I've developed lately has been my lack of winter clothes, which is like a big, big step down from my time in living in cold places. And I'm headed to Anchorage the end of this month and, like, definitely need to pick up a new pair of snow pants, a new long underwear.
Yeah.
It's going to be so cold there. We're hiking out to a cabin with my little brother. And my mom doesn't know I'm coming, but she doesn't listen to this show, so whatever. Don't tell her. but it's going to be so cold, we're going to have to bring
heat
packs.
I'm offended that your mom doesn't listen to Oh My Dollar.
Maybe she does. This is going to backfire. But we're gonna. It's going to be so cold, we have to bring heat packs to keep the beer from freezing on the way in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I need new long underwear is where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are a thing that's like, it really helps to invest, right? So if you get the super cheap version, it often, those like long underwear is totally a thing where they'll end up busting out if you don't get the nice version. So
my little brother works for a schmancy outdoor clothing company. I'm probably going to take advantage of his discount.
Yeah. a lot of people brought up clothing swaps, which is a thing I do a ton of. And I wish, they're also sometimes called naked lady parties.
naked lady parties? I've never heard that.
It's because you kind of just throw everything into a pile like everybody's like running around trying on things. I'm a huge fan of those, especially as people are getting into KonMari-ing their wardrobe and getting rid of things that no longer spark joy for them.
Y'all take your things.
I think it's great. It's also... I go to enough of these that you see the same weird pieces that cycle around from clothing swap to clothing swap, like the skirt that everybody thought they could make work for them and then they can't, and it just keeps ending up back in the pile. Or like the, you know, glitter spandex shirt that everybody buys and wears to one costume party, or, you know, or picks up at the clothing swap, wears to one costume party, and then brings it back to the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of organizing them for friends. I'll put in the show notes a link of like how to organize a clothing swap if you've never done one before. You can also, in some big cities, find like massive clothing swaps where you like are required to bring like a paper grocery bag full of clothes for entry. Sometimes you have to pay like a $5 donation, but then you can go to this huge massive clothing swap.
That sounds cool.
Sometimes they're organized by size, so sometimes there'll be like a people that are XL and L, or people that are extra small and small. And that can be really helpful, because if you have a small group of friends that is pretty diverse in size, then the clothing swap can be often not as fun.
Not very useful. Yeah.
Simply because, like, I don't have a lot of clothing that's going to fit my friends that are a larger and extra large, because I'm so petite.
Yeah, I don't think you and I have much that could go.
Yeah, like, Will and I are not going to be good clothing swap.
Maybe hats, but that's about it.
And I find clothing swaps so valuable because it also just helps me personally, like, feel better about letting go of stuff. And one of the big advantages for me, like, you know, always I'm so into tracking data, but one of the big advantages of tracking everything I wear is that I literally know what items I haven't worn. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to use a spreadsheet, the old school version of this is to put a record or some sort of ribbon on your closet, and then wear every time you wear something, you move it to the other side of the ribbon on the hanger in your closet. And so you'll be able to see,
go through.
Yeah, as you wear stuff, you'll start to realize, like, oh, there's these things that never move from the other side of the ribbon. And that also works with, like, you can use a record on your shelf. So if you, like, stack things in your dresser, mm-hmm. then you can do the same thing and always move it to the other side of a record. And I think that can be a really helpful way to do it if you're not going to track all the data.
I've actually just got some old clothes I got to get rid of. Some hand-me-downs that didn't quite fit, but they're actually some really nice suits from an unnamed person who was running for mayor a while back. some great mayoral campaign suits that I got to donate. There's Dress for Success is the organization. I keep on meaning to get them too. I know they support people trying to get jobs by just hooking them up with nice suits for interviews.
Yeah, Dress for Success is actually really awesome. And if you're not at the income level where you can benefit from their programming, if you have one in your town, usually they have a semi-annual sale of their old stock, and it is crazy cheap. Almost all of my professional pencil skirts and blouses have come from there, and it's like $5. So the one in Portland is really great, but I know a lot of other cities have them. So just become friends with your local Dress for Success chapter, because you can get on their mailing list. And if you are in need of a professional wardrobe, like if you work a very office-y job and you need suits, Dress for Success is absolutely amazing. So they do like kind of a basic starter kit for folks, as well doing like job training and stuff like that for people in office jobs. But their clothing sales to die for.
They're good. Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Good to know. If you are also looking to sell clothes like Will, I recommend Poshmark is an online clothing place that is like easy to list stuff. And it's like a peer-to-peer one. There's also a couple different websites where they'll just like send you a bag and you stuff it with all of your old clothes, and they will sell it on their own marketplace and get rid of whatever they won't sell. ThredUp is one of the really common ones. The thing about that is you're going to get a lot less money for your clothes from something like that than you are doing peer-to-peer selling on something like Poshmark or eBay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you're just looking to get rid of stuff in mass and you don't want to organize a clothing swap, you can find your local Buy Nothing group. and most of those run on Facebook, but often you can either say like, hey, I have all this small clothes, you have to pick all of it up, but you can take whatever you want and then pass it on to the next person what you don't want. Or you can even do what's called starting a clothing bag, which a clothing bag is like you pack as much clothes into it as you want to get rid of, you start it, you hand it off to the next person, and then they take out what they want and they add stuff and then they move it around. And those can be kind of a fun way to like get rid of clothes and get new clothes.
Like a decentralized clothing swap.
Yeah. It's pretty much like a long running decentralized clothing swap. And they all are kind of based around your neighborhood, the Buy Nothing group. So those end up being like pretty local. Craigslist can be very hit or miss, but sometimes you can get like batches of clothing on there if you're just like, oh, I need to restart. MJ on the forum said, I usually spend almost nothing on clothing between thrift stores and clothing swaps and friends pawning off all clothes on me. But last year I went ham on fancy underthings and spent like $500 on lingerie, plus new sneakers, t-shirts, and a dress, and consignment store Fry boots and work shoes, and. lingerie is one of those big things where
it's expensive.
It is really expensive, and it really helps. I try to, update mine every, 3 years or so, and I have to, plan ahead in advance to really do it, because those are one of those things where, I used to get all of my bras from clothing swaps, and that doesn't really mean they fit.
Right. Yeah.
And then I got, a properly fitted bra, and I was like, oh, the heavens have opened.
Life is better, yeah.
One of my big tips is if you like fancy underthings but you want to save a little money, is to look for the outlet stores for fancy department stores. So places like Nordstrom Rack tend to be a really good option.
They got big shoes, too, there.
No, big shoes. Yeah. I like how you're like, where do we find the tall people things?
As a size 15 shoe, I cannot wear all shoes. So yep. it's a thing.
Size 15?
Size 15.
That's not a real size.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's often not. A lot of them just go up to 13.
Wow. That's...
their loss.
Their loss. You and the 10 other customers that were size 15.
Yeah.
Man, that's brutal. Okay. I mean, I knew you were tall, but you have very big feet.
Yeah. Well, if I didn't have that big feet, I would be unstable and fall over often. It's proportional.
I think one of the reasons I'm so good at jumping and landing in figure skating is because I am 4'11", but I have size 10 feet.
Yeah.
Which is, I have excellent landing platforms. Jekka said, I spent about $1,600 on clothes, which seems awfully high. I will say I started a new job and spent a good deal on upgrading my work wardrobe, as well as buying a whole new set of bras, underwear at once. I also invested in some good heavy-duty winter gear, like you were talking about, Will, and upgrading from the this will last me 2 to 3 seasons to this will last me 10 seasons stuff, like boots and a ski jacket. It's been a great investment. I'm so much more comfortable outside. And more likely to go for a walk when it's 25 degrees out.
Yeah.
Someone said that they spent 676 Canadian on clothing for all three of their family members, which was mainly their kid continually growing out of footwear.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm done with that.
But they also said that their pet clothing costume budget, however, might have been a bit higher.
That's cuter, though.
Yeah, much cuter. You feel more rewarded by that. So things that I want to take away from this is that there's no set amount. I think that there's a common rule of thumb that 5% of your wardrobe. Things that I want to take away from this is that it's highly variable. It sounds like people get a lot of value from actually spending slightly more and investing in the long term. The folks that on the forums that talked about this that kind of were happiest with their spending said I like to do investments. So, I don't spend a lot at once, but I get stuff that's going to last me multiple seasons. I'm a big fan of finding a way to track what your cost per wear is and think about things in terms of cost per wear. Because if you're buying a $15 shirt, but it only lasts you one season and you can only practically apply it to two parties where it has a glitter theme, you're going to get a lot less value out of that than a $200 winter coat that you wear, for four
seasons. To winter themed seasons.
to winter themed life.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm really into is to actually look at your wardrobe from a comprehensive standpoint and see where the gaps are, because you may realize that you're actually you constantly are buying skirts or something like that, but you would be getting a lot more value generally out of your wardrobe if you had one more black blouse or that. I'm a really big fan of that. Even obviously as someone who owns 12 Bowie costumes, I have a lot of impractical clothing, but I try to get my cost per wear down by making it part of my job to wear them. So, so tracking data, buying used is a really big one. And then, weirdly, it's super important to take care of the investments. And I think a lot of people underestimate the portion of their kind of clothing budget that needs to go to care of garments. And that doesn't have to be dry cleaning. There's plenty of other options other than dry cleaning, like Dryell or whatever. But it also can mean just thinking ahead to be able to drip dry and line dry your stuff and not throw your fancy workout gear or your wool in the dryer.
You didn't even touch on laundromat budgets.
Laundromat budgets. It's a big deal.
Topic for another day.
It's a big deal. When I teach an in-person class and actually one of the exercises in my book, I have people walk through different budgeting choices. And one of the budgeting choices is that doing laundry in your house is more expensive than doing it at a laundromat. And a lot of people are like instinctively like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's free if I do it in my house. But I like to let people know that that is part of the built-in cost of your housing. So you're usually paying more for your housing if it does include a washer dryer, which could just be in rent, but it could be that you own a house and you're paying for, you know, the carrying cost of having a house that's large enough to be able to have that. Or so it's not tried and true. Obviously, you might be at a point in your life in either, I don't know, maybe you have eight kids and you're doing laundry constantly and
can't go to the laundromat anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even between laundromats, I definitely found the bougier, more expensive one to be cheaper because it's faster.
Yep.
And
you don't have to do as many loads.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Yep. Higher capacity. It's really interesting to think about laundromats in terms of like both your cost time too, right? So if you're like, oh, I have to spend 4 hours to get all my loads done because they only have two things and I only go once every 6 weeks because I hate doing laundry. Like, if you spend 4 hours at the laundromat, but you could go to a slightly bigger laundromat that costs slightly more, but cut your time in half, well, what's your hourly wage, right? So yeah. Thinking about things like that. I am not personally that pro laundromat because most of those machines are incredibly hard on your clothing. But some of the fancier, bougier laundromats, if you're willing to get there, have the nicer machines that are kinder to your clothes.
Oh, and this one has free detergent, too. That's definitely a factor.
Free detergent makes such a big difference. And then you don't have people that are, like, stealing your detergent, which is totally a thing. Also, having to haul it there with no car, it's like...
Ugh. No, I do want a laundromat. I do want my own washer and dryer. But we're drifting.
Anyway, so things I will link to in the show notes. I will talk about the, I will link to some of those classic 1940s wardrobe budgets. I think it's a good way to think about things. They tended to have a lot less clothing than us back then. Mm-hmm. But when you actually calculate against inflation costs, it's totally, totally different. One of my other favorite personal finance blogs is called The Lux Strategist, and she's really into designer clothing, but she never pays, sticker price for them. And she talks through a lot of the different strategies for getting designer or higher end clothing. And I am by no means an expert on that because I like trashy clothes. I'll link to her. I will also link to the forum. So if you want to continue this discussion in the forums...
Have at it.
We'll have at it. All right. I think that wraps our show for today, Will.
It's wrapped.
Folded. I feel compelled to buy less clothes after this show.
I feel like I could buy some more clothes.
Yeah. I think we might be on the opposite end of clothing spending. But
yeah. That wraps our show up for today, and we love hearing from you. So email us your financial worries or successes, your clothing acquisitions at questions@ohmydollar.com or tweet us at anomalily or @ohmydollar.
Our producer is Will Romy and our intro music is by Aaron Parecki. I'm your host and personal finance educator, Lillian Kerr-Bake. Thanks for listening. Until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.